Okay, it's gone. All right, cool. So, when did you work at the Writing Center? And did you start as a consultant or did you start like as an AD?
So I worked in the Writing Center 2010 to 2012, and I was an AD when I was there.
Okay, so were you hired as an AD then?
I was, yeah.
Okay. Who was the director at the time when you were hired?
So the first year, it was Dr. Rosner, and then she retired, and then Bronwyn took over for the second year.
Okay, cool. So what were some of your responsibilities as an assistant director?
Oh gosh. So obviously consulting was a part of it, but then also working with the writing tutors with their own development. And so helping to facilitate the classes and different training programs. And then also some sort of independent projects that the ADs got to decide on. So my first year with Dr. Rosner, we did a survey and outreach research project about faculty to see how we could work with faculty on their own writing. So not getting faculty to send their students, but actually get faculty in the door. And then my second year with Bronwyn was the year that we piloted the dissertation writing retreat. And so that was my project, and really a labor of love.
Okay, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. It was, Bronwyn came in that first year and met with the ADs, and we were sort of just talking about what the direction we wanted it to be because, a new director, we could kind of change things up a little bit. What are some ways that we can reach people we hadn't reached? And I'm not really sure the order of events, but I know that the graduate school, Beth Boehm had reached out to try and get us to help graduate students more. And that's, I don't know, I started just thinking about what we could do, and the dissertation writing retreat seemed like such a great idea because, I was a PhD student at the time, and some of my best writing happened when I was writing with other people, not necessarily talking to other people about my writing, but just like going to a coffee shop and sitting next to a colleague and just saying, hey, for the next 2 hours, we're just going to write and hold each other accountable to writing. And so that's really where the retreat started from, was just what would it be like if, over a break we got, I don't know, 10 to 15 PhD students in a room and just said, hey, we're going to create an environment where you want to write. And it grew from there. We matched them, we paired them with consultants. So not only were they writing, but they were getting feedback on their writing. And, we provided snacks, we provided yoga breaks, just, a place where writing could happen. And I hope it's still going. I'm not sure. But at least for when I was there. And then even when I wasn't an AD, I continued to be a consultant the following summer and or participant. I'll be honest, it's a bit of a blur. writing my dissertation. But anyways, it was really cool. It was a fun time to be a part of the Writing Center.
Okay, awesome. And I also had it in my notes that you were part of starting the Writing Center blog.
Yes. Gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was, again, I was always really interested in making the Writing Center more visible to people. So whether it was getting faculty in the door, the dissertation writing retreat, just trying to bring down that wall that made people uncomfortable. Because I got started in Writing Centers when I was working on my master's, but even before then, I just worked as an administrative assistant in a writing center during my undergrad time. And, everyone who came through the door, it was like, oh, I'm a really bad writer. It's I'm sure the narrative hasn't changed much, but so they were either coming in with this negative vibe, like I'm really bad at this and like super uncomfortable and not really sure what they were going to get. Or they were being made to come in because it was a requirement from one of their professors. And so when you're coming in with that feeling, you're not particularly enthusiastic necessarily. It's kind of like having to go to the dentist. And then, so part of it was just, let's make the tutors visible so that you can see that we're people and normal people and not super scary. And then part of it was just like this educational opportunity for people to learn what the Writing Center actually is, that it's not just like, come, we'll fix your grammar, or, you know, it's only for people who, you know, are bad at writing, to really showcase it as this place where like the very best writers are constantly getting feedback on their writing. Like, mm-hmm. coming to the Writing Center is a sign of being an awesome writer and an awesome thinker. And so the blog was an attempt at doing that, you know, highlighting different consultants and just getting them in. I mean, it's work that I continue to do in my career now. So yeah, it had, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So what, can you talk a little bit about what you do now? And, if there's anything that you haven't mentioned already that, your experience at the Writing Center really fed into that.
Sure. Yeah. I am the director of academic and professional learning for an educational nonprofit. So we work, our mission is to create educational equity for students K through 12, and we focus on literacy and providing students or supporting teachers in providing students with authentic disciplinary literacy experiences. Mm-hmm. So the project that I'm currently working on, which is definitely applicable now, is creating a version of the Purdue OWL, so an online writing lab for K through 12 students, because one of the things that happens when you are bringing in authentic writing products, so our goal at like my goal at the most basic level when I'm talking to schools and districts and teachers is, you know, stop assigning essays, because essay as a term is really meaningless and it doesn't tell students anything about the audience, about the product, about you know, the discourse community it belongs in. And so, you know, call it a literary analysis, call it a rhetorical analysis, call it a primary source analysis. Not every product has analysis in it, but you get the idea. So, but one of the things that happens when you do that at the K through 12 level is that people, get nervous because they don't know what that means. Right. And so they go and they look up like, what's a historiographical essay? And they can find a ton of information about what a historiographical essay is on just about every Writing Center's website, right? Because we all have handouts, we all have information. If they're really lucky, they'll see an example of that essay, a student-written example. The problem is it's all at the college level. And so that's not really helpful. It's not even really helpful to a high school teacher, to be honest. And it's certainly not helpful to a fifth grade teacher who isn't teaching a historiographical essay, but is maybe teaching some of the traits of that essay. And so what I'm working on right now is creating an online space where we break those products down and where we talk about the kinds of practices we talk about at the Writing Center, but at a level that is accessible to both teachers and students who are K through 12. And really breaking down those products, like this is what it might look like in first grade. And this is how it's going to, you know, moving up from first to second to third. And obviously when you're talking about, you know, primary and secondary education, we have the Common Core standards or different state standards to work with, which are their own, hate them, love them, whatever you want, they exist. And so, you know, also working with that. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing now. I can tell you more about that. But from a Writing Center perspective, how the Writing Center has influenced me and my career and my thinking, you can obviously tell it's a huge part of it. When I left university life and started working for this nonprofit, I was hired because they needed somebody who could really get into disciplinary literacy. And that is something that I learned about in the Writing Center, because we're seeing assignments from every discipline and from, you know, undergrad and grad and, you know, even faculty. And so I got a lot of experience looking at it and understanding it, and more importantly, understanding how to explain it to somebody who doesn't understand it. And so that's still what I do.
That's great. Yeah, that's really cool. This is maybe an odd question, but if you could list maybe like three things that you have taken away from working in a writing center, that have either changed your approach to writing or your approach to students, something like that.
It's a great question. I think that first, the term good writing is highly subjective, and is something that needs to be defined in every context that it's, I mean, ideally I would say we're just not going to use that term at all, but if we're going to use it, we need to define it for both ourselves as educators, or policymakers, and then, you know, for our students, because what makes it good, I mean, there's so many things that can make writing, you know, good. And so it's not a useful term, even though that's the term that most students, like, that's what they're working for. I want to be a good writer. What's that mean? You want to be a good communicator? Do you want to be, you know, a good copy editor? Like, there's all these different things. Right. And that's something that came from the Writing Center, particularly because, at least during my time, that was sort of the drive of why faculty were sending their students. Particularly faculty outside of the comp program. So that's one. I think related to that is this idea that you can't expect students to be able to write in your discipline if you're not giving them authentic or opportunities to experience your discipline authentically. So you need to give them, there's this Elizabeth Wardle, it's old now, can't believe it's old, but it's old, this article called Mutt Genres, right? And it's this idea where we're just putting all of these, we're calling a product, a certain discipline specific product, but it's really a mutt because it's all these different ideas that come into it. And I see it all the time in K through 12, where you have a high school English teacher who's like, oh yeah, I'm teaching them English, but she's having them write from sources that would be considered 100% social studies or history or whatever. And it's like, you can have them write that essay, but that's not ELA. That's not English. And you're not preparing them for the kind of work that they're going to do when they get to the university. Now, to be fair, a lot of comp teachers do this as well, where a comp professor is like, oh, you know, I can teach them to write in the sciences. I can teach them to write like all these different disciplines. And it's, you know, I think those were the assignments in the Writing Center that always seemed to be the trickiest for students and for us as consultants to kind of explain, because it's like, well, I actually don't really know what they want you to do or why they want you to do it. And so I think bearing in mind that the people who are in the discipline are the ones who are most authentically having that experience, though they might not have the tools for how to explain the writing that they do, because they learned it through an apprenticeship model, right? Like, you, by the time you get your PhD, you've done so much writing in it that you figured it out. And so I think the number one thing I learned in the Writing Center was that our job is to make those moves explicit for students. Like, don't make them work so hard. They don't need to be an apprentice. We can say, you know, these are the moves and this is how you do it. And they can benefit from that. So
yeah,
I think that was three sort of muddled in one answer.
It doesn't have to be three.
Sorry, you're taking me down memory lane. So this is like, you get it all.
Yeah, well, that was really well put. Yeah. Okay, let me check my questions here. Okay, so who were some of the other tutors or consultants that you worked with? How many were there? What was the space like? Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So the space when I was there was upstairs in the library. So we used to call it sort of the treehouse because it had that wall of windows. And, you know, when you were up there and you were sitting, all you saw were the branches from the trees in the quad. And it was a really, really awesome space in that sense. It was like, you know, other writing centers where I've worked were like basements or no windows or like, you know, corner of the library. And at least at that time, I do believe you guys have moved, but at that time it was, you know, that big open, it was really a big open space with, you know, the round tables where you would do the workshops with students. But then it seemed even bigger than it was because you had these giant floor-to-ceiling windows. And then you went around the corner and there was kind of a space with a big table, which is where we would do, you know, Brahma would run his seminars for the consultants, or we would have workshops. And then behind that was another room with computers, which was where the consultants were. The ADs had a separate office when you first walked in. Mm-hmm. And so it was the two ADs and then the virtual AD as well. So that was a space. When I was there, my first year, the other AD was Laura Detmarine, which was really nice because I was sort of in a unique position because I started my PhD at U of L, and my first semester there, I was also an AD at the Writing Center. So I was brand new, didn't know U of L very well. You know, normally those positions go to, you know, second, third, and fourth years, and it just so happened that they didn't have someone that year, and I had Writing Center experience, so Dr. Rosner asked me if I would do it. And so she sort of gave me the lay of the land, you could say. And then my second year, when Bronwyn took over, I was working with Ashley Bender, which was really awesome because she was and remains one of my closest colleagues when it comes to this kind of work. She and I work well together and really fed off of each other, especially when we were thinking about things like the dissertation writing retreat and the blog and, you know, how to make the Writing Center accessible to people. And then so many consultants. I mean, I can give you names of, you know, it's crazy now because I remember, you know, and it's not even like I was that old, but I was a first or second year PhD student. And when you're a second year PhD student, they were first year MA students. So they seemed like, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but they seem like babies because they were brand new to Rec Comp and they were brand new to this whole thing. And now I know that they're all professors at universities as well. And I'm just like, but you were this like person who was just, you know, really nervous about starting consulting and didn't know what you were doing and were afraid. And you'd come into my office and be like, hey, this, you know, appointment went really badly. Can you help me? Or like, I don't know what this teacher is asking. Can you look at this assignment? And like now, you know, they're the professors sending their students to the Writing Center. So yeah, I think I hit everything, right? Who I worked with, what the space is like.
Yeah. Let me make sure. If you could, I don't know, if you could just like guesstimate maybe how many tutors or consultants at a time, were they called tutors? When you were there?
You know, I saw that question in your list and I was like, I have no idea. I want to say we called them consultants. It's hard because I worked in a couple different writing centers. So that's part of the problem too. Yeah. I want to say they were consultants. And I would say during my time, we had probably 12 to 15 because it was also a seminar. So you know, they signed up for it. I'm thinking about the big square table that we sat at when Bronwyn would teach. And it was like probably 3 to 4 to a side. Yeah, like 12.
Okay.
12 max.
So, okay. So the seminar you're talking about, what is that?
So I don't, it had to have happened when Dr. Rosner was there too, where it was like when they had a class associated with consulting.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm calling the seminar. When Dr. Rosner taught it, we had nothing to do with it. I have no idea what she did. We never went back there. No clue. When Bronwyn was teaching it, the ADs were all assigned, I want to say like 2 weeks. Not in a row, but like basically 2 weeks, two topics or two readings or something where we were supposed to sort of lead the discussion. And so that was part of the work that we did.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Adam Robinson was also there and he was the associate director, I think was probably his title. And he worked very like closely with us as well. And he really supported us in a lot of the projects that the AD were. I mean, obviously Bronwyn and Dr. Rosner did, but Adam was sort of the, you know, just knew everything that was going on. And he was in the office. You know, Bronwyn was like in the writing center sometimes. Sometimes he was in his office. Sometimes he was teaching. Adam was there 9 to 5 every day. So yeah, he was like your point of contact.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Let's see. There's a question here that says, what population of students did you work with? I imagine it's not too dissimilar from what we have today, but if you could just mention that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we saw a ton of comp students. And I think that was partly because, you know, the comp professors and TAs were encouraged their students to attend in all sorts of ways. You know, sometimes it was extra credit. Sometimes it was like, you must attend a writing center, you know, before the second or third assignment. Mm-hmm. And it was all well-meaning, right? The goal was like, get them into the writing center so they can realize how awesome it is. Mm-hmm. But as a result, that was a lot of what we saw. And I remember, like, especially with the, you must do it by like the second or third assignment people, like all of a sudden we'd have this like rush at the end of the semester where it's like, why do we, or like the end of like, you know, in October, why do we suddenly have a request for like 60 people who need to get in this 1 week? And it's like, oh, because they didn't come in earlier. So we saw a lot of that. I saw actually a lot of graduate students who had English as a second, third, fourth language who mm-hmm. were there, who were really looking for sort of more feedback on, you know, sentence structure, fluency, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And then, you know, everyone in between. But for me, I feel like it was either English as a second language or, you know, composition students were really the bulk of who I was seeing.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So how did you approach working with writers? What kind of training did you have? What strategies did you utilize the most often?
Okay, so I guess I'll start with training. My training didn't happen at U of L, just because I came in as an AD. So mm-hmm. my training happened at the University of Nevada, Reno. And the way that we did it there was, so first, as an undergrad, you could sort of be like a, if you were a senior, you could take this upper-level class where you basically had to write the kinds of assignments that you would see in the writing center. So a lot of, like, the comp-type assignments, and then, like, have that experience, go through that experience, then workshop them to kind of get used to giving feedback. So that was the first thing I did. Mm-hmm. Then I, when I was getting my master's, you sort of, the way they trained you is your first few weeks in the writing center, one of the more senior writing center consultants would observe you when mm-hmm. you were consulting and then give you feedback. And then you're sort of left on your own unless there was ever a problem. So that's where my training came from. And then what was the second part of the question?
Sorry, I'm asking you too many questions. No,
okay.
okay, yeah. Any particular strategies that you utilized?
So I always like to start with why the student is here and what their understanding of the assignment or their needs are, because I don't want to make assumptions about what their needs are. And, you know, in an ideal world, after we've established that and we go through their writing, what I think their needs are match what they think their needs are. But that's not always the case, or sometimes, you know, their needs, what they're saying they need is true, but there's maybe a more global issue that needs to be addressed first. But I also think letting them have room to talk hopefully makes them feel a little bit more comfortable. Not always. Some students feel really on the spot because they're nervous talking to a stranger about their writing, which is really vulnerable anyway. I do that. And then, I mean, I'm at basic level, I always liked to have students read their paper out loud to me as opposed to me reading out loud or reading it silently, although I always made that a choice, not a requirement. But I, as a writer, think that reading your own stuff aloud makes you catch a lot of things. And so that was helpful. And then really trying to ask more questions and giving directives so that it's as collaborative a process as possible, while also recognizing that I don't want to make them work too hard to get to what we think, or what I think is, you know, the strategy that they should be employing so they can improve their writing. So I kind of think of it the way I talk to students about transition sentences. Like, you put in these transition sentences because it helps your reader not have to work so hard to connect points. You know, I think I would ask students a lot of questions, but I'm not going to ask so many leading questions to get them somewhere that when I could have just said, hey, this is what I think. So just finding that balance. I would say those were my, and continue to be my, strategies when I'm working with writers.
Okay, great. Let's see. What did you think that the Writing Center did effectively, sort of as a whole, when you were there? Does that make sense?
Yes, no, that makes sense. I'm thinking, okay. I think certainly during my second year, really reaching out to graduate students and getting graduate students in the door was something that we did really well. And that was, you know, primarily through the dissertation writing retreat, but that was because, especially depending when the retreat was, you know, they would come for the retreat, but then, you know, the semester would continue after whatever the break, and they would continue coming, right? Because they'd established a relationship with a consultant, and you know, it got to the point where we had to turn people away for the retreat because there was too much interest. And so those people were coming in the door because they couldn't do the retreat, but they wanted that feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a cool moment for us, because so often writing centers are portrayed as for, you know, struggling writers, you know, the kids who are new to college who didn't have a great, you know, writing program in high school, and so they need help. And so when you have, you know, PhD students who by all accounts are super successful in their field, I mean, you know, you talk about people who get PhDs, it's like less than 1% of the population. So when they're coming in and they're like, this is a valuable resource, I think it's a great showcase of the kind of work the Writing Center does.
Yeah, awesome. And we talked about the dissertation retreat earlier, but could you just walk me through like what a day in the retreat looked like?
Oh gosh, okay. I will try. I'm worried that Bronwyn's gonna write this and be like, that was, or read this, and he's like, that was not the schedule. So a day in the retreat, I wanna say, I can't remember if they came in and they started writing right away, or if we had some kind of little workshop in the beginning. And the kinds of workshops we had were things like how to overcome writer's block and stuff like that. Just like little, you know, just strategies. And so we would do that, and then we would write. And I'm pretty sure that we like had some kind of timer, not necessarily like it's going to buzz for everyone, but like we set like times when they were going to write, and then like times when we would have breaks, to sort of chunk it out and really encourage people. Like I said, like going to the coffee shop for the next 2 hours, we're just going to write and don't worry about it. Just write. And it was always fun because then a break would come and there'd all be, it would be the person who's like, I can't stop writing. Like I'm on a roll. Or you'd have people writing and then someone else like stretching or doing yoga in the corner because they just needed to get their body moving. And then it was lunch, and then it was writing some more. And then staggered throughout the day, you had a meeting with your consultant where you'd go over, you know, what you'd written that day, or, you know, plans, or just a brainstorming session. And yeah, that's what I remember. There was probably more to it. For all I know, it could have been like a morning consultation, an afternoon. I don't know. I remember the writing. And I remember the writing because I think I must have attended. I must have done the dissertation writing retreat at some point when I was writing my dissertation.
Yeah, looking over your blog post, and I think one of them you talk about participating. Oh.
See, I should have read my blog post. Then I would know what I did. I would have been more prepared. Yeah. So I feel like I was going to say, because that's the other thing is I remember attending and just getting so much writing done, like more writing done during the retreat than like the entire time that I was writing my dissertation. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I remember.
Okay. Great. Can you talk a little bit about the transition from the initial director of the Writing Center that you had to Bronwyn? What was that like?
This is very political.
No. It's basic, you know, I'm talking like administrative little
things. Yeah, no, that's, but it's... So I was in the Writing Center. It was Dr. Rosner's last year before she retired. Mm-hmm. She took a very hands-off approach. When mm-hmm. Bronwyn took over, it was really, for me as an AD, amazing because here was someone who had a clear direction, who had... he had a reason for doing things the way he did them, and he made sure to share that with us. So there was an intentionality mm-hmm. to everything that he approached in the Writing Center, and it never really felt like a top-down situation. It wasn't like Bronwyn said, we're doing this, and everyone just has to get in line and do it. It felt very collaborative and conversational, you know, across all, you know, levels of experience and hierarchy, right? I don't think, I would assume a consultant would say the same thing that I'm saying as an AD that Adam would have said as, you know, the associate director. So I think that was a change. I also think, and I don't know if this was just something that because Dr. Rosner, didn't share as much, just wasn't visible, or if it's something that really started when Bronwyn came in, but you started to feel that the Writing Center was being politicized as part of this, as part of broader conversations in the university, right? Suddenly it was conversations about, you know, funding. It was conversations about location because Bronwyn did not want to move the Writing Center, you know, and again, I don't know if that had like that was just timing and it started his first year or if it just became visible to me as an AD his first year because he shared it. But that was a shift, right? Because my first year was like, oh, we're this altruistic center that's helping students with their writing. Isn't that great? And then my second year, you know, becoming really aware, and this is not unique to U of L by any means, but sort of just like the political climate that surrounds a writing center and really that surrounds any resource that university leadership view as helping remedial students, which is not how we view ourselves or should view ourselves at all, but is how often universities see places like us. So that was a shift. But also what was really amazing was watching a director who was going to fight tooth and nail for the Writing Center and for the resources and was really, really inspiring.
Okay, awesome. Was WC Online part of the Writing Center at that point? The appointment
the virtual system. Sessions or the appointment system?
Yeah, the appointment system and the virtual sessions as well.
So we had virtual sessions. I have no recollection of WC Online, so I'm gonna say no. Like, okay. I've never even heard that URL before, so I'm going to say, if we had it, then I'm either having a serious memory lapse or was completely in my own world, which I don't think we had it.
Okay. Well, so then how did students sign up for appointments, and how did the virtual sessions work?
So for appointments, they could either walk in or they could call. Virtual sessions. So we had a virtual assistant director as well. I don't know if you guys still have mm-hmm. one of them. So there's the two ADs in the virtual and the virtual appointments I'll be honest, I don't really know how they work because the virtual AD was sort of always just separate.
Mm-hmm.
Like they worked on their computer, they did their thing. So they weren't really involved. So I do know that they like had like Skype like appointments because I remember Drew and then, you know, I remember Drew with his headphones and his microphone and like over in the corner talking to people. But I feel like email might have also been an option, getting feedback that way, but I really don't know.
Okay, just curious. Let's see. We already talked about this a little bit, but did you ever do any like class presentations or workshops? Mm-hmm. You mentioned like creating some kind of programming for outreach and that kind of thing, aside from login. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did class presentations. I think the number one presentation that we did was professors, namely comp instructors who had been in the writing center themselves, asking us to come and like just explain what the writing center is and like put a face on the writing center. So I feel like I just remember at the beginning of every semester, Ashley and I just doing a ton of those. And then every once in a while, there'd be a workshop, often like citation or something like that, where we'd go and do that. And then sometimes it would be, actually, no, sorry, I'm mixing up writing centers. I think that's mostly what we did. And then we would occasionally do presentations for the consultants themselves, like if we were going to talk about, a certain product in a certain discipline to make sure that they're familiar with it, because we knew we were going to get a bunch of, you know, students coming in with this like weird kind of lab report or something, just to give them that support if they'd never seen it. But that was about it.
Okay. Cool. And I'm also supposed to ask you if you have any pictures or documents you would like to share.
Not really. I wish I had pictures, especially because of what the space used to look like. I don't think so. I may have our IRB application for that faculty survey that we did with Dr. Rosner. If you wanted that, I can look. But no, I don't really think I do. You have my blogs, apparently, which I didn't even know were still alive.
They're still alive.
Man, when I Google search myself, I must not like go far enough down the Google rabbit hole to find it.
Okay, and that's pretty much all I've got. Is there anything else you remember or anything else you think is important to share about U of L's Writing Center and your experience?
I think what makes U of L's Writing Center special, and I think it's what's special about a lot of writing centers at universities, is that we talk a lot about what students get from it, what faculty get from it. But I think what people often miss is that for consultants, the Writing Center is the gateway into thinking about writing in this very particular way. And certainly under Bronwyn's leadership, I think that writing centers are where you're training the next generation of writing teachers, writing tutors, comp professors. Like this is where they're getting their foundation. And that's one, really important, because what is that foundation that you're setting? But two, like an often overlooked aspect of how we're training and educating the next generation of people who are thinking about writing from all of these different angles. And, when I think back on my Writing Center experience and the experiences that I'm still trying to create with my current Writing Center projects, you know, that's what I'm thinking about is, you know, if these are the people who are going to go out and talk to other students about their writing, like, what is it I want them to know? What do I want them to care about? What do I want them to think about? Because you can't undo a foundation. right? You can challenge a foundation, you can expand a foundation, but wherever you start people is going to influence every thought, decision, direction that they take from then on. And so it's just another way that writing centers are really important and that we don't always think about. So
yeah,
I guess I'll end there.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's all I've got. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Please tell Bron when I say hello.
I will. Absolutely.
All right. Well, it was nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.